is TAN Talk, entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and our hour number two, our new time slot, 11 to 1 each and every Saturday, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Come on down and see us. We set up our studio now. We're in the upper simulator, if you will. We have an upper and a lower full swing simulator. We have golf leagues now. You can rent an hour for $45 on the weekends. Come and bring some friends. Just figure it out. You know, you got four guys, that's $10. You got all the grub you want. You got the games on. You're not dying out in this 100-degree heat.
You're in the AC. That's way better than any other place in the local area that opened up. I mean, this is a great simulator. You get to have a lot of fun, and the AC is probably one of the best parts.
Well, and you can play up to 48 different courses. Had some guys in league. One was playing Pebble Beach. The other was playing Torrey Pines in San Diego. And so it's a lot of fun. Come on down and join the fun at one of our simulators down here on the T Florida headquarters on Thursday nights. You can hear us from 5 to 7 right here on our flagship 106.1 FM, WTAN and AM 1340. Clearwater, St. Pete, Tampa. And that is Matt up on the controls, doing a great job for us as always. And we're going to be expanding our high school coverage. We'll be filling that slot from 1 to 2 with the Tampa St. Pete Prep Connection here on August 27th. Brad Richardson's in the house. That'll be streaming live on floridasportsstream.com as well. But right now, why don't we take a little ice pick vodka, look back at Ray's conversation that we dove into. Of course, a nice win last night and 110 first pitch today. And Detroit.
Yeah, I'm very excited. You know, it's the Rays opener with Detroit. The Rays won 8-0 over the Tigers. And Little was amazing. He was great. He earned his second consecutive win. And what was his, you know, kind of his third actual start of the season? He really hasn't been
a great surprise for Kevin Cash.
Oh, he is going to be a great feather in the cap for the rest of the season, I believe, as long as, of course, staying healthy.
Oh, and of course, everybody right now is their fingers crossed on Sugar Shane McClanahan. I called him McLaughlin the other day. I had a buddy up north called Shane McLaughlin. That was his God-given name. And of course, with his head, I can't think. Not that I don't stumble, fumble, bumble anyway. And I'm calling him McLaughlin. Finally, somebody says, I thought you covered sports for a living. I go, yeah, Sugar Shane, you went to USF? It's McClanahan, you dumbass. And I said, yeah, McClanahan. Hopefully, it doesn't appear right now to be something that's going to be season-ending by any stretch of the imagination. We just can't afford not to have him for 4 weeks during this stretch. It's so important when you take a look at this East.
In our schedule.
The beast in the East.
Our schedule. We have projected the hardest remainder of our schedule out of any other team in Major League Baseball. So it's going to be tough. We're going to need all of our pitchers there. And, he's going to have to be one of our guys. And, you know, it doesn't help. It doesn't hurt that, you know, he kind of does look like the guy from Oppenheimer, Mike. Did you see that?
Yeah, he does a little bit.
So maybe that's why he's going on the aisle for a little bit, doing some fan appearances, doing some movie promos.
Signing some autographs. So you take a look in the East. You got that in front of you?
The East?
I got it in front of you. Got the Rays are two behind the Orioles with a record of 67-45. You just look at that, and if you look at the wild card, take a look at the wild card while I go over this.
Yeah, 5.5 games.
Yeah, you've got the Blue Jays 7.5 back of the Orioles. They got a record. They got 60 wins, and then the Red Sox, 57 wins as the Yankees do. So everybody in that East is above 500.
Mm-hmm. It's a great division. I mean,
Especially if you take a look at the Central. The Central Twins are on top 2.5 games over the Cleveland Guardians,
who are below 500. And I don't think that they're going to be bouncing back now that they got rid of their starter,
which I didn't understand. They were in the hunt. They win that division. They're in the playoffs regardless of record.
Do you think they're giving up like the Mets did?
No. That's a wholesale. that is a dumpster fire.
Yes, the Mets are unbelievable. They're paying $131.8 million to players not on their own team. And that payroll just of players not on their team is larger than the payroll combined for the Oakland Athletics and the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Well, and our payroll is only about $82 million, I believe.
Yeah, it's not huge. I mean, I think we're 28th, maybe 27th now with the addition of the Guardians pitcher to our staff. So,
but amazing performance, I think, under those conditions.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm excited to see what happens. I believe it's Saval. He's going to be pitching for us today, and we've seen some wonderful moves by Wander Franco. He's been making these incredible plays, as well as Isaac Paredes and Jose Siri in the outfield. All of these guys have been doing really, really well recently, especially at the plate. Wander Franco, he's finally hitting home runs again. He hit two in the past few games here. And
how about Lau? You wanted them to run him off.
Not Lau.
And he has been on fire in July and even into August after having the worst batting percentage of anybody on the team.
Yeah, I am a big batting average guy. I'm not a big, you know, I'm not into war. I don't believe war is a real statistic because other people calculate it differently. So I think that's ridiculous to look at that stat. But, you know, I do think that this team's starting to turn around a little bit. Something's kind of clicked. They finally figured out we're here to play baseball. We're not here to, you know, make an Instagram reel or get on TikTok.
They're young guys.
They are.
I mean, you're 24, and we're talking about three or four, five players on the team that you're older than.
It's kind of frightening to me. Mike. Yeah, I don't like this too much.
No, but that just tells you, you know, the youth. And, you know, you're actually an old soul, but you know what some of your buddies are like. I mean, absolute buffoons still. And
not wrong.
Yeah.
Not wrong at all.
And when your high school day, your college days, we all have some things that we don't want to share with the public.
Yeah, some of those buffoons might be listening, though, Mike. So we got to be a little careful.
Well, God bless them. I'm the head buffoon. The old man. I used to be the president of a fraternity that got kicked off the
off campus.
Our charter got kicked off.
Oh no, Mike!
Under my helm, I'm so proud of the the Animal House duplication that we did 50 friggin' years ago, whenever it was. So let's take a look at what do you got in front of you.
I was gonna do some. We got some yesterday in history, Mike.
I like this.
Because today, you know, it's Saturday, but Friday we got a couple big ones that happened. Tom Seaver won his 300th game on yesterday in 1985, holding the Yankees to one run in a complete game, seven strikeout effort at 40 years old. The White Sox right-hander was nearing the end of his 311-win Hall of Fame career.
I was going to ask, he was with the Reds at one time too, wasn't he?
Maybe he
obviously his claim to fame was the Miracle Mets.
Yes,
and that's when he came onto the scene. Did he have a stop with the Dodgers? No,
I don't believe so. But you know, it's really cool to see that. I don't know if we'll ever see a guy getting a 300th win ever again. Maybe Clayton Kershaw is probably going to be the closest one, or Justin Verlander kind of guy. But another big 30 years ago yesterday, Robin Ventura tried his hand at giving Nolan Ryan a piece of his mind.
Well, it was Nolan Ryan's birthday just this past week. Are you kidding me?
30 years ago.
He just absolutely picked him up like Ray Lewis, middle linebacker for the Ravens, and slammed his ass. That was embarrassing.
Put him in a good headlock there.
Oh my God!
Also, another cool thing: Major League Baseball has been posting about this. Kids are hitting dingers in front of a giant Buddhist statue in Bhutan. Mike, this is one of the most remote countries. It's in the Himalayas between Tibet and India, and it's a small Buddhist country. And it's sometimes referred to as the last Shangri-La. It's only about 700,000 people living there, but there's kids playing baseball out front of it, and there's now more than 6,000 kids playing baseball there in that remote country.
Someone, some charitable organization, had to have gone over there, missionary type, and brought the great game of baseball there. I think that's a superb story that only you'll hear on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, brought to you by our good friends at Body Armor and the U.S. Marines now. Hey, let's go over the rest of the schedule. to the best of our abilities. In town this week is the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, they're having a disappointing season, but we got three games against the Cards.
I think we should pull that out. I mean, there's always good attendance by the Cardinals, of course, because they did have spring training down here for quite a while. Rich history here in St. Petersburg.
Then at home next weekend, it's the Guardians, the Guindians. How about that? Can I say the Guindians?
well,
it's Mike, Guindians.
If we're talking about team names and stuff, a smidge there. What about the Washington Commanders? Apparently, there's a huge petition trying to get the name changed back to the Washington Redskins now with the new ownership.
Well, bravo. I don't. Anyway,
over 20,000 signatures.
Well, they'll get more than that. They'll probably get 200,000. But you know, this woke society, that's not going to happen. So we got the Guardians in town. They're battling the Twins for that Central Division. Again, big question mark and why they made the trade they did.
The Indians are, the Guardians are not going to be competitive, I think, the remainder of the season, throwing away one of their best pitchers, unless they know something the Rays don't know with his health, because that has been an issue with him. But I do think the Twins are probably going to come out ahead of this division without an issue.
All right. So then after next weekend, we've got the Giants in town for three, which is a rarity. We don't see the Giants very often. Got them in town for three. That gets us to mid-August. And then we head to the West Coast to a team that everybody thought maybe was going to start to sell off, the Angels.
A team that can't get out of its own way, Mike. Did you see the video the other day of Shohei Ohtani crying in the dugout after his loss? After the stellar performances that he gives, and they're not able to put up a couple runs behind him?
And you got Mike Trout. I mean, you got a lot of money on that payroll, man.
And Shohei Ohtani. Those are two of the best bats in baseball, and they just can't get it done. It is unbelievable that a team with that kind of talent is just unable to make anything happen. I don't know how they're not able to attract more players to the team. You see it in basketball where guys like LeBron can bring people out of nowhere to their team. How can't Mike Trout or a Shohei Ohtani get people to come there?
It's L.A. They've got the Dodgers. It's been that way for decades, and it's been that way since who was our man that Gene Autry owned the Angels.
Hey, maybe the Angels will start being a little cool. I mean, we saw
there's
the
reason why Joe Madden had some issues there, and it was ownership, and it's unfortunate because we know what a cool cat and what a turnaround genius he is, what he did here in Tampa Bay and what he did in Chicago at Wrigley. So Joe knows what he's doing.
Yeah, but we've seen celebrities though as of recently starting to kind of promote the Angels. Drake, one of the biggest rappers in the planet, one of the biggest celebrities in the planet, he was wearing a Shohei Ohtani All-Star Game jersey. And so once you start seeing kind of the popular culture kind of getting behind that team, I don't see why more players won't gravitate to that team with such great talent as Mike Trout, who supposedly the best player of our generation, that everyone's saying disagree with that. But, you know, Shohei Ohtani there as well. They shouldn't have an issue getting players to that team.
Well, as you've said several times, one of the issues across the street here at the Trop, who are at Berg Sports Bar and Grill, right across from Tropicana Field, is the fact we haven't had that star that people want to come out just to watch them. They don't care about the Rays. They don't care about, you know, the baseball or where they are in the standings. They want to see that player. Well, they've got that now in Hollywood, in L.A., with Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, and they got the best of both worlds, because sometimes I feel like it's a little bit harder to market a pitcher, because a pitcher can be on, off, they can
it's
be
not
there,
hard
they
to
can
market
be
him.
He's not hard, because not only is he pitching complete game shutouts, he's also going out there and hitting two home runs the very next game in a doubleheader.
That was impressive.
It's unbelievable, Mike. That was probably the best day of baseball anybody has ever had in the history of the game.
So let's take a look at the schedule. And of course, we got the Tigers this weekend. We obviously the first win. That should be a series we win.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if we sweep them. Cardinals are not playing well. They're in town on Tuesday. First pitch, three games. We should be able to win that series. Guardians, same thing. Three games there. Giants come to town.
I think we win that series, but I mean, I think we'd at minimum take one, especially after the schedule that we have before that.
Okay. And then Angels on the road.
Angels, I don't think that'll be an issue.
Then the Rockies come here. We come back home at the end of August. Rockies here.
Oh, geez. We got a fly in the studio, Mike.
Okay. Did you shower today?
I did. I'm ducking and diving. For the people listening at home, you know, this is hard work, Mike.
Well, it's that nice flowing mane of yours. You have great hair.
Flowing mane.
I think there's about six or seven of them up there, pal.
Just landing up there. Yeah. I got to keep brushing my hair.
That's better than the pigeon that came in here the other day when I was sitting here by myself.
That's got to be our mascot now, Mike. He's living in here, hanging out in your office.
Yeah, he's bringing flies.
You got to give him some bird food.
So Rockies, we should win that.
Yeah. And we got the New York Yankees, who, of course, last place in our division. I don't think that'll be an issue facing them again. I don't know what's going on with them. They need to have a real shakeup. In
their pitching staff is horrible, with the exception of Cole.
Well, of course, you saw they had to put Herman. They had to put him on.
He's going into alcohol rehab. And just about 8 days after pitching the 24th no hitter in the history of Major League Baseball,
a perfect game.
Sorry.
And what they said about breaking a TV, throwing stuff all in the room, kind of crazy to hear about that from a guy who just days before was doing probably the hardest thing to do in sports, throw a perfect game.
Without a shadow of a doubt. All right. So given that, you think we have, obviously, looking at this schedule, we're a lock without complete collapse of a wild card.
I believe so. We're five and a half games.
5.5 up.
Above everyone else.
Two back in the East right now.
So I do think that we're, at this point, if we don't have another month of July where we went,
Well, we've started August. We finished July strong. We've started August very aggressively.
Very aggressive.
And as we said, you're seeing kind of a change of mentality. The big question mark right now is Sugar Shane McClanahan. We'll see what happens there. But I think August will be very, very good to us.
Yeah, I think August will be a good month. It's going to be a month where the Rays try to bounce back and show, hey, we're not giving up on the season. We're not going to be a complete dumpster fire like a lot of the other teams in the league right now. It really comes down to September, I think. We're going to be facing Cleveland, Boston, who I don't think will be an issue, Seattle, Minnesota, Baltimore. We're going to have a 4-game stretch against Baltimore in September. That's scary. That's going to
make or break and who wins that division.
That's going to be the biggest week of baseball, I think, for the Rays to determine the fate of what happens this season, because if they come out ahead on that, or if they at least split the series with them there, I think that's going to give them the competitive nature, the mindset that they need to go deep into the postseason here, because I don't think that they're going to have an issue making it. Of course, granted, you know, barring some huge failure. I'm curious to see if they're going to be able to have the fortitude to make it deep into the postseason, where at times they've kind of struggled being able to compete with teams who seem to throw out the analytics side of baseball once they get to the postseason.
You know, you got to look at who you really are and go with your gut. He is Ben Baseball Botham and now Ben Bowling Botham. And we're going to take a quick break, come back with Brad Richardson. We're going to recap last weekend. We had a superb Body Armor Media, Pinellas County Media Day down here. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
Time's over. Reset the clock.
We're going to shut them down.
Dial the down.
Do it!
And get your head in the game.
Visualize an attack. Yes. Visualize an attack.
Yes. Get the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
I take a scotch and water. Hold the scotch.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. Want a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront. Ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club Rewards Program. app. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection with partner RadioSt.Pete.com launched a new sports streaming channel, Florida Sports Stream, on RadioSt.Pete.com. Florida Sports Stream provides local and national podcasts, radio shows, live events. The Tampa St. Pete Prep Connection will broadcast Florida high school boys and girls sports, live play-by-play coverage, media days, award ceremonies, positive stories and content across Tampa Bay, Florida, and the USA. From the peewees to the preps to the pros, recognizing positive participation in sports and the people that make a difference. Podcasts include NASCAR, Florida Fishing, MMA, Rays, Rowdies, Bucks, Lightning, local media personalities, pickleball, local colleges, FCA sports, Florida Sports Hall of Fame, and NFL Alumni Tampa. Just a few of the shows and podcasts with dozens on deck. That's Florida Sports Stream on RadioSt.Pete.com, supported by Body Armor, Sea Dog Brewery, Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, and Ice Pick Vodka. Take a listen and have a championship day.
Pulling out all the stops of the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the clubhouse studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network on this sixth day of August. We're at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Right across from Tropicana Field, actually, the Tigers and the Rays with a 110 first pitch today. A little something to listen to this afternoon. Real quick, and I'm sure that Brad will concur with this, Apple TV. What the hell? I'm an old man. I don't have Apple TV, and you can't watch, you know, my beloved Rays. Of course, I listen on the radio. What I do is I turn down the television, and then I listen to the guys on the radio.
Yeah, the announcing crew on Apple TV, it's okay. It's nothing special.
Like LIV Golf.
Yeah,
let's put it this way. I mean, they're still just starting out.
Yeah.
Okay, bottom line, they just started this on Apple TV. They're just trying to pull anybody in now. I'm not anybody. Let me just say this.
Your generation.
Yeah, but with enough experience to do play-by-play and give commentary and all that, it's just a jumping point for a lot of them. Do remember, when you're doing commentary, you start always in high school sports. You do anything going forward. It gives you enough experience, gives you enough time on the mic to learn each team that you're playing. It's just another outlet to play them. And a lot of people aren't going to be buying the MLB package. I mean, some people look at it and say, oh, it's too expensive. Yeah, it's great to watch my team wherever I'm at across the country. Watch them play live. But again, it's all about money in the end. And I think some people think subscriptions to Apple TV are going to be a little cheaper. So it all depends on how you look at it.
Yeah, but you only get a couple of games. So
that is true. Yeah.
And MLB TV also, you get so many blackouts for your favorite team. When I was up in Georgia at Georgia Southern and Savannah State, I couldn't watch some Rays games because it was still using my location as here in St. Pete. I couldn't believe it. I want to watch my stinking team. I don't want to watch the Braves play.
Well, I mean, and that's the regional issues of it. John Rager, who we just had on talking high school golf, you know, LIV. I just you guys aren't really embedded in that world of golf, but you know the gist of it. And as far as I'm concerned, they're on that Warner channel. I can't even remember what channel they're on right now. CW.
CW.
Yeah. And it's pathetic. And as I said, the graphics look like a 90s video game. And you got teams like the Hot Tamales or whatever they're called, the Fireballs. That's what it sounds like, this Apple TV with their graphics.
Yeah, the graphics weren't great. They kind of felt, I don't know, a little cheap.
I mean, they're on limited budget. I mean, but here's the thing. Think about what's going on with ESPN right now and the cuts that they just made there and all that. Let's see how the quality of their graphics start going. I mean, 300 employees?
Apple has a gross GDP larger than most countries in the world.
That's another division. Let's not go into the other sides of Apple. But what I'm saying is, it all depends on how you allocate your resources for whatever you're going to do.
Yeah, it's kind of like I have Prime. And you had Prime on Thursday nights to watch NFL, too. Those broadcasts, they sucked. They were horrible. You would think with the money that Amazon has and Apple that they would want to make sure when they make they roll it out that it looks better than the big boys.
Oh yeah,
not so much, my friend.
Show them up. Come out there swinging, and they came out there and dropped the ball. You're calling players by the wrong names, not having the right graphics up, having nothing on the screen.
That's what happened during Amazon Prime NFL games. It was hard to watch. I'm like, this is Bush as well. And you would think that they would have deep pockets. Well, we don't have deep pockets, but we certainly have a deep passion at the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection for high school sports. And we initiated it last Saturday from 10 to 3 down here at Ferg's. It was the Body Armor Pinellas County Media Day. And at the forefront of it was the voice of Seminole baseball, Seminole football. And now Seminole Bowling, and he.
Wow! I already got promoted there. Yeah.
Are you gonna come announce our games?
I bet Seminole Lanes and a few others would just love me doing that.
Yeah,
we might do it.
you could say who the bowlers were coming up. Let them know when the cheese fries are all done. You say, all right, little Stevie, come on down. Your cheese fries are ready, right between your 300 game there.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, there's only one county famous concession stand. That's at Brinker Field, maybe even Warhawk Stadium, but. You know, if we have to get a quick shout out to Seminole Lanes and all those other places, then what the heck? I mean, they're going to be famous in the bowling area. Let's put it that way.
What we're going to do is we're going to find sponsors. I already got Eli Rootbeer is going to be on board. But with the Florida Sports Stream, we got to go out there sometime and do a live broadcast. I'm serious. It'd be cool.
It'd be interesting. That's for sure. ESPN Ocho.
All right.
We'll have the cornhole team on next week.
Well, you don't have a cornhole team yet. All right. So let's dive into last weekend. By the way, you did a superb job going back and listening to the broadcast. We've got a lot of things that we're going to elevate and improve upon. But for our first go around, we've got positive response. The AD at Seminole is already asking if we're going to do a basketball one. And the answer is yes.
Yeah, I figured Josh would ask for that. So Josh Walker and all of Seminole. He's the athletic coordinator and also the coach of the basketball team. So
beautiful. So your analysis on last week and the participation, the teams were excited, engaging, and bravo, another great job, my man.
Yeah, I mean, with Saturday looking at everything that was going on, I mean, we had a variety of different teams from all over, and just kind of the goals from each team was rather interesting. Obviously, you have CCC, Lakewood, Largo, and all of them are vying to go back and try to make it farther in the playoffs. And, of course, they want to go back into the regionals, ready to go, brand new, fresh slate. Let's just see what they could do and all. And, you know, I think what we talked about earlier, too, was last week it was all about the kids. We've reiterated on that multiple times. It's about the kids and being able to talk to the kids and getting their point of view for the season coming forward. But also just what they do to keep themselves, you know, focused, ready to go. I mean, what they've had to do. I mean, this past Monday, everything began. All practices began across Pinellas County for every football team. So,
you know, one of the reasons why I love having you a part of our team is your finger on the pulse of what these kids want to do. And one of your questions, which was perfect, was ask them about, and it's a reality, their social media. Because in today's world, I started interviewing high school kids in about 2000. And typically the response to them would be like, hey, Ben, let's talk about that perfect game you threw last night. Yeah, thank you. It was good. I mean, the kids back then weren't as engaging. They weren't that comfortable. But now with social media, and so you asked that question, and then I would just see their faces light up. And they're a bit hesitant, though, I think, because coaches were there to really talk about some of the things that they put on social media.
Well, yeah. I mean, things are going to be moderated, too. I mean, mainly from what they would say and all. And, you know, they don't want them sitting there and ripping and, you know, making comments about other teams throughout the county, even. And, you know,
and they don't want it me.
Yeah, exactly. But again, you know, with every kid, they're always going to remember that special moment during the season. There's going to be that one play, that one moment that they're never going to forget. And they're going to go onto the stream and they're going to try to find it. And they're going to put it up on any form of social media they have. Twitter, of course, now X, if we want to call it that. And then also Instagram, they'll sit there, they'll find some segment and they will put it up there. And they're like, hey, you know, all my buddies, they're going to see this. Grandparents, wherever, they're going to see this. This was the best game I could have. And this is my moment that's going to stay on any form of social media for the rest of the season.
What I liked was the variety of the responses based on the the player. I mean, you had the lineman talking about pancakes, and then you had defensive end about a sack, and you know, it's all relative to the position, but the skill positions always sound a little bit more glorious and exciting. You know, I took it to the house 70. I had a pick six.
Yeah.
But those guys in the trenches are just as proud of their accomplishment as the skill position guys.
Absolutely. I mean, everyone just always is going to look at the QB, and they're also going to look at the running back and receivers. I mean, that's going to be what they focus on. But everyone feels forget that, you know, every player on that team is what makes the machine powerful. Every single part of it is a unit. So, and if that's the case, then they're gonna win games not just because of that one play by the QB, but by one other player on the team. And it will just, you know, it's a trickle down effect. Everyone contributes.
Well, you've done a superb job of helping me get up to speed on the world of high school sports down here. But the team that I was intrigued by and wasn't really that familiar with, and it's essentially an IMG, was Clearwater Academy International.
Yep.
Now, the kid to my left had already committed to Notre Dame, which I love. The kid at the far end had already committed to the Miami Hurricanes. You had another kid, University of Massachusetts.
And then the other was Pitt.
And then the other one had not committed yet. Now, that's just five kids sitting next to the left. That gives you an idea of the talent in the state of Florida. And four out of the five were Canadians.
Yes, exactly. I was just going to say that. Yeah, it's amazing. Just you're seeing the talent from all over the world. I mean, they're just actually the continental United States. It is out there. I mean, you look at IMG, you just mentioned them. I remember announcing for the Buckshot O'Sullivan Classic at Calvary, they had a guy on there. He was, like, I think, 7 foot, like, one or something like that. I mean, he was a tall dude, but he was from Canada. He was from, I think it was Quebec is where he was from. So, yeah, I mean, there's talent all over, and they're certainly coming to Florida to get the exposure and to be seen, you know, where they're going to be going to the next level.
And I told you guys that kid sitting to my left was my bodyguard.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he had a lot of bodyguards.
Gave him my card, and he's already responded to me. So now I've got a freshman to be pals with, and if I get up there to Notre Dame, I've been quite a few times. I'm going to certainly look him up and say, I remember when you were sitting down at Ferg's. Now I can buy you a beer. But yeah, that was a lot of fun that day.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, and to get just big shout out to Josh as well. Josh Wilson, you know, he was able to go and just get these teams together and get even his questions straightened off. I mean, Josh had a busy week. The day before he was in Hillsborough for their media day.
Yeah, but five consecutive media days.
Exactly. So, but yeah, being down here with Josh, you know, getting his input and getting his questions and all, it was just kind of a back and forth between me, him, and you. But it was great to have him there. It was great to have this media day and see the variety of teams and see the variety of players that are going to be going forward with the season. And just an exciting fall season.
And your buddy from Dunedin, the Falcons, Coach, he could be on the mic anywhere.
Mitch is definitely a talker. I'll say that. I've known him for, God, almost now 15 years. I mean, I've known him for a very long time. And the thing I like about Mitch is just his spirit. He gets the kids motivated. He gives them a reason to be there.
That's going to be Ben Botham in the world of bowling.
Take some notes there, Ben. But anyway, no, Mitch is one of those guys out there that he's very motivated. He's very, very focused. He sees every game as a chance and an opportunity to give these kids just a amount of a reason. It's just
a hope.
Thank you. I couldn't think of that word for a minute. Yeah, a hope. Absolutely. It gives
people
them an outlet.
I quit talking on the air. They like to listen to you guys.
Yeah. But no, I mean, you look at Dunedin now, you know, obviously with baseball team, they are very prominent, but also Mitch wants to go and say, hey, Dunedin football, it's here, and get ready. Watch us see what goes on. It's his program. He's molded it into a great positive program, and I'm excited to see what goes forward with him with that. So,
well, as we take a look at the future of what we're going to be doing, we'll start sometime at the last week in August of our podcast, the Brad Richardson podcast. And it's going to be, I think we should essentially just do the best we can in Tampa Bay, between Hillsborough and Pinellas. But I'll let that content be in your hands. looking forward to that. We're going to do, as we mentioned, boys and girls sports, whether it's girls volleyball, basketball, softball, baseball. We're definitely in with soccer. And I want to do wrestling and even golf now that John Rager's going to dive in with the high school piece of the golf equation. And I didn't realize they started in the fall even.
Yeah.
I was thinking spring, but it makes a lot of sense on why they don't.
Yeah, I mean, we do realize, too, they got to, once football is done, they start moving into wrestling. A lot of wrestlers, especially if they're linemen, okay, they're going to go into wrestling maybe as another way to keep condition and all.
Coaches love, wrestlers.
Yeah, that's what they've been talking about.
Christian Wirfs now playing left offensive tackle for our Bucks.
Yeah, well, it's funny because that's one thing we talked about on Saturday was athletes that play dual sports. You know, there's some that, you know, they basically say, nope, it's football or nothing. It's baseball or nothing, soccer, nothing, et cetera. But a coach that I like listening to is one that sits and says, no, if you're going to do football, you play football in the fall. Next up is either going to be wrestling or track. This is just a way to keep you conditioned before you move into spring football. So I always respect a coach that says, play another sport. Keep yourself conditioned. Don't just get done, hit the gym, you know. You got to keep yourself going. You got to keep yourself in shape. No matter what, play, play, play.
Well, we'll start breaking down. We're going to be assembling. We're going to be assembling organizations across the state, kind of like Josh Wilson and that group, to get scores. That'll be on our social media. It'll be on floridasportsstream.com. It'll be on our Facebook. That's going to be. I gave him a title. Our intern. Joey does a great job.
Joey,
he's our social media director.
Oh, wow.
Cards.
Moving on up. Moving on
up. He's done a great job.
He certainly has.
Yeah, he's done a superb job. So we're going to do a lot of that, folks. You'll be able to reach out to us. Brad, we'll even throw you into the social media world where you can break down the week as it was.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even on my Twitter page, X page, I'm still trying to get used to that. Thank you, Elon, for that. Yeah, I mean, I have over 1,000 followers. I have some, you know, connections to different coaches in the area. So, and yeah, you can reach out to them for sure.
Well, you're definitely on board. We'll have a little meeting. We'll set that right now. And I know it's something that you guys, you know, are aware of. It's at the forefront, and that is the world of college football and how it's changing.
Oh, yeah.
So I decided to bring the big old Oscar Garner III into the conversation. And he's kind enough to take a little time out of his busy world. What's up, big old?
What's going on, Mike? How you doing?
Got Bradley here and Ben Botham. By the way, breaking news on Ben Botham. He has just been chosen. It was a lengthy, laborious interview process. He is the bowling coach for the Seminole Warhawks, and he is launching a new program, and I'm so damn proud of him. I'm beaming like a proud papa.
We love to see it, Ben. Glad to see his success. He can level up from talking down on my sports, and he can go be great at his.
You know, what I'm waiting for, Ben, now is that I want to see him have that bowling ball with a skull in it. That's what would be really cool to see.
I'm thinking Wally Warhawk head right inside of it. That'd be pretty sweet.
That's interesting.
We digress. Well, it's kind of like war right now between the major conferences, though, across America. It gets worse every day. The announcement, I mean, the poor Pac-12, and I was kind of a fond of watching that style of play for decades, you know, being the old man of the gang here. I'm also a traditionalist, and you're going to see, you know, people will be telling stories about, well, remember when, and even you as a Michigan State graduate, remember when there was the Big Ten and just two divisions. And I mean, the entire landscape has been absolutely gutted with college football, all for greed.
Yeah, it's been a bloodbath. Shout out the Pending Approval podcast. Me and Alex actually touched on this. I believe it was Tuesday last week. I think that episode is coming out soon. We'll be shooting that out on Facebook. So tune into that to get our kind of, we talked about this when Colorado was the first story out. But of course, as of Friday last week, we've got news that Oregon and Washington went out. Don't you think it's kind of, or they're going to go to the Big Ten. Mike, don't you think it's a little weird that they went out both at the same time? So neither of them was blamed for leaving the Northwest high and dry.
Well, you know who you got to feel sorry for is Oregon State, Washington State, Stanford, who has won the NCAA overall title for all sports many years, usually 7-8 years out of a decade. Where does the Stanford, the world go? Cal Bears, you know, that won't make Aaron Rodgers happy in his alma mater. But the reality is, yeah, as you said, it's like it's kind of like when the Colts left Baltimore in the middle of the night 100 years ago. And the reality is that to go to Indianapolis, that this is changing the entire landscape. And Florida State has made a statement that's a slap in the face for the ACC, who's trying to hold on. They've made it known that right. We're out. We're leaving soon as the deal is right for us. And then the ACC sits there with Clemson, and it's sad, especially the powerhouse that it is in basketball.
So, Mike, I was thinking about this, right, with the news stories that have come out with as of Friday last week. How can I draw a parallel here with my finance brain? And if anybody's been following what's been going on with rising interest rates recently, it's almost crazy how much of a parallel we have between what's going on with banks and what's going on with college football. And I'll be quick, but I really want to draw this comparison. Let's talk about SEC. The SEC is J.P. Morgan. When interest rates went up, J.P. Morgan said, hey, I'm going to give guys 5% on your cash in an enhanced savings program. Come bring your cash over here. People rushed out of their local bank. I'm going to go put my money with J.P. Right? It was all money related. Bank of America came next. They did the same thing. Who's Bank of America? The Big 12, right? Bank of America was getting robbed by J.P., right? Texas making that leave. OU making that leave. Big 12 said, Bank of America said, hey, we'll do it too. Who came up third? Big 10. The Big 10 got their TV deal. Who is that? That's UBS. If anybody knows anything about banks, UBS bought out Citi because Citi couldn't keep up. Citi didn't have enough on the books to keep up with the big guys. They got bought out by UBS. Who is Citi? The Pac-12. Pac-12 getting robbed left and right, right? We have now Arizona State, who are thinking of going Big 12, right? They're thinking of going that route.
There's no thinking if they're going to go for it, bud. Yeah, if there's no thinking, if they are in the conversation, they're going already.
Yeah, so they're on the way out, right? So what position does that leave these banks or these conferences going forward, both from a competitive standpoint and a financial standpoint? I did a little digging on what's going on with that. Apple is the number one leader in getting that new media deal for the Pac-12, right? But they're kind of in a catch-22. They need to be able to secure enough subscriber base to actually get the money to be competitive. But to get a good subscriber base, they got to put a product out there. So what is the Pac-12 trying to do? They're trying to backfill right now with the San Diego States of the world. You can't replace Oregon talent going to the Big 12 with San Diego State, and Apple knows that. So Apple is slowly lowballing them on their TV deal, and even if they do get the best rates possible, talking about the Pac-12, their schools are still going to make $10 million less at minimum than the next biggest deal, which I think is the ACC. ACC teams are getting like $31 million a year on their TV deal. Pac-12 teams are most likely going to get anywhere from 20 to 25. So it's looking like they're going to have about a $8 to $10 million gap. Within the world of NIL, it's more legal to pay players, new deals. It's such a spiraling death case for the Pac-12. I don't know if they'll be able to keep up. Then if we move to the competitive side, right, look at the playoff. We're looking at conference champions possibly getting play-in spots, right? I mean, getting playoff spots, making it into that top six. You can't look at all conference champions in the Power Five the same anymore, right? You can't tell me that if San Diego State does win the Pac-12, you're going to put them on the same seating as Georgia. Only somebody naive who just started watching college football would say that. So where is the saving grace for the Pac-12? I've been searching for the past week, really hoping there's some way to preserve what they have going on over there, but with some of the big, not even some of the biggest brands, I mean half the biggest brands, what are they, the Pac-6 now? With half of them gone, I think it's going to be a Power 4 and not a Power 5.
Their only hope, and it's going to be watered down, is if they can convince the Mountain West, the entire Mountain West, to join the Pac-12, and that conversation is taking place as well. But again, it all determines based on the television deal. Hey, let's go back to Oregon. When you get an Oregon, you're getting a brand. Because of people want to see what Oregon's wearing. They've done an incredible job there. So they're almost in an independent like Notre Dame. People want to say Oregon making that move was a superb decision because many people want to tune in the Ducks. And it's just the reality of the brand that they have created thanks to Mr. Knight.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The Oregon brand, along with USC, UCLA, is going to be a huge addition for the Big Ten. But I'd like to say, conversely, you know, it's great for these schools to be able to still stay on the same footing. I think the Pac-12 was weighing them down, and honestly, this move was long overdue. Those brands want to stay relevant, right? And how do you do that, right? You kind of move up in the TV schedule, moving closer to the East Coast, where people are, you know, the main calendar that everything goes off, everything's Eastern Standard Time. And then you relate it to being connected with Michigan, Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan State. Now, I think it helps uplift a brand like Oregon, right? Brings them back to a relevant point that they haven't been in since those playoff runs, you know, 5+ years ago. But if you look at schools like, I don't know, Purdue, Indiana, Rutgers, I'd even put my own Michigan State in there. You know, how relevant can these teams stay? How will that change the structure of how those teams interact throughout the season, right? With 16+ teams, these teams will not, it won't look the same. It won't be just the East versus West, right? We've already kind of talked about they're gonna change the play structure there. So, you know, will we still have the same relevance of the rivalries of the original Big Ten? Will it still have that same prominence? I think we're losing a little bit of legacy for both conferences in this combination. And I don't know if the combination is a net positive for anybody beyond maybe Oregon, Washington, and UCLA and USC.
There is no more heritage. There is no more history books, you know. And Botham sitting next to me is a diehard historian, and we'll be telling tales of what happened and the destruction in 2023. It started in 2022 of the collegiate model, and how because of greed and ego and the old OJ song "Money, Money, Money," it certainly relates to this. Debacle that's taken place in college sports. I've heard several of the talking heads at the national level talking about this cannot continue. There will be a watershed moment again where this model is going to have to be blown up to maintain the collegiate athletics because it's impacting so many other sports. Nobody's taking that into consideration. I just brought up Stanford as a prime example. Stanford kicks butt in all of the non-revenue sports, if you will, and there are superb student athletes that are participating. You know, what happens to that world? Notre Dame is another one of those schools. These schools of higher education have superb programs, and what's that? You know, is this going to be another Title IX court battle 10 years, 15 years from now? Who knows, Bosker, what's going to happen?
Yeah, that's a tough one because in the short term, when I see what's going on with streaming, right, if you look at actually streaming minutes or minutes of sports that have been streamed over the last year, 52% of that has actually come from streaming platforms, i.e. non-cable platforms, right? And what is driving this combination, TV deals, streaming deals, right? It's a reorganization of money, but the reorganization of money has come from a redistribution of streaming minutes. You know, where are people going for their sports? I'm not saying anything that's new. I'm not saying anything that's, you know, groundbreaking. It's just true. The money's been redirected. Fox, ESPN, all these guys, they're not commanding the same dollars. They have to be a little bit more strategic, a little bit more aggressive. They have to combine products to be able to compete with the Hulu Live Sports, right? Be able to compete with Apple TV and whatnot, who's been gaining the amount of streaming minutes they've been getting on the sports network. So in the short term, it almost makes sense, right? If consumer eyes are more focused on certain areas, right? The product has to move to those areas, right? So this was always going to happen, right? If it wasn't for the structure of TV deals and schedule, it probably would have came.
It's premature, and I say this, and then Brad's got a point. I say this because of my age and my demographic. Our demographic, we still are an active and a very broad base of the population, the eyeballs, if you will. We also have disposable income that we want to distribute. I know a lot of people my age are like, I'm not getting Apple TV. I'm not jumping on that platform. And there are a lot of us out there. And I don't, as you said, they're struggling to get their numbers. And they're still going to continue to struggle to get their numbers until we die off and we're no longer a demographic that makes an economic impact.
Well, you know, think about this for just a minute. I mean, you have Hulu. Okay, Hulu has all these different channels on
it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, think about this, too. With the ad revenue that comes into Hulu to help sponsor, I mean, they're right now trying to expand. Now, they are a brand of Disney and all that. But the whole thing with the others, especially with Apple, you look also at different streaming networks that are trying to pull in a lot, and I mean a lot, of these sports to actually stream. They don't have, in some ways, the ad revenue structure that they do need. They're all from different other private entities that are coming in to try support. That's what Hulu has. Apple does not. So it's a lot different. Apple is relying on subscriptions. They're not relying on the ad structure that they should have. That's what I think Hulu has, and that's one of the advantages I think Hulu has over Apple TV.
Exactly. And I think regardless of where the position of power is amongst streaming, if you look at the demographics of it, college football tends to skew, you know, based off the numbers, college football tends to skew 50 and below. The NFL tends to skew 50 and above. What you're seeing on the NFL side is actually very telling. On the NFL side, Amazon took over Thursday Night Football. The number one night lost viewership last season was Thursday Night Football. So to Mike's point, the older generation is putting their flag down. They're like, look, I'm not downloading this. I'm not doing this to watch this. But as you said, Mike, I'm not calling it. You know, your word's not mine. As that generation starts to move away from watching TV, i.e. maybe dying off, right? That's going to create a skew back towards the younger side when it comes to who's commanding streaming dollars. It's going to be the younger generation. So upwards.
Well, think of what Roku does. Roku's the same way. They all rely on ads, and they also are trying to get all the stuff. Spectrum, the only way you can have the Spectrum app is through Roku. So that's the way I look at that, too.
All right, fellas. Well, we definitely can have a round table conversation about this in the future. I'm looking forward to that. Oscar, thank you very much, Big O, for coming. We're about ready to lose the bowling coach. He's a little hot up here in the perch here. Thanks for joining us, as always. Look forward to a further conversation on your guys' podcast. Brad Richardson, thanks for coming down.
Absolutely.
And we got a lot to talk about from the prep side. The new coach, bowling coach of the Seminole Warhawk world. And we're going to have a lot of fun with that. We'll get those candy cigarettes. We'll get the shirts.
I don't condone the candy cigarettes.
Eli's root beer.
Sure.
Okay. All right. So for Rowdy Soccer, Jim Hart, Brad Richardson, John Rager, talking a little high school golf. Joe Bardot on the controls up there. Oscar Garner III, Matt on the controls up on our flagship 106.1 FM. I'm Mike Rickard. Thanks for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Wishing you and your families a fabulous weekend. God bless you. God bless America. And as always, be sure to have a championship week.